You're listening to the Rubbish Trip Podcast. Two no-waste nomads talk trash with people in Aotearoa, New Zealand.
It is a little discussed fact that in New Zealand, timber makes up a sizeable subset of our landfill material, somewhere in the region of 10 to 15%, depending on the local area. This is an extraordinary waste, given that much of the timber biffed is still perfectly good and could be reclaimed and reused rather than lost to the economy. But also because timber is treated with chemicals that don't belong in the ground. Tucked away in the back streets of Palmerston North is an incredible organisation, Reclaimed Timber Traders, co-founded by Robert and Adrian Scott, which rescues timber otherwise destined for landfill, spruces it up and gives it a second life, whether in New Zealand or for disaster relief work overseas. Not only that, but the organisation offers work and training opportunities for individuals who might otherwise struggle to find employment, giving them satisfying and important work, creating a supportive community environment, and providing a shining example of the job creation potential latent in the resource recovery sector. Back in July 2017, the Rubbish Trip went along to Reclaimed Timber Traders and spoke with co-founder Robert about why timber does not belong in a hole in the ground, what Reclaimed Timber Traders is doing about it, and the beautiful intersection between their environmental and social justice wings of their operation.
See that one block of treated timber there? That's gone through a huge process to get to that stage. You've got to think of the planting of the tree, the servicing of that tree. You've got to think of when it was logged. That's huge. That's huge already. And then it's been milled. It's been processed with a chemical dipping and all the rest of it, like an H3 or 4 or 5. And that now has to go to landfill. Now, why does it have to go to landfill after all that huge processing? It should be absolutely banned. You know, the potential for wood to be repaired. All wood can be splined. You can cut it out this way, put a piece in. If you have to, you can always put stainless steel screws in it, and it's going to be stronger than it was new. It shouldn't be wasted. And that is a much smaller carbon footprint to get that wood ready for resale than buying new wood.
And that there's Remu.
Remu.
Beautiful door.
Mm. So and that there's would go no to landfill.
Way. Yeah, they smash these every day and you'll never see them again.
And so what would you do to resurrect?
What we'd do
door?
Is we'd take the broken glass out and get another one that's identical. I've got a few over there at the moment. And we can put whole blocks of wood in here and flush it all off again.
Mm.
And make a new set of doors out of it.
So why would people throw out?
Because they don't realise it. It doesn't have a value in the modern person's thinking. It doesn't have a value. They see something like this as dirty and ugly and used and broken, so they chuck it out. They don't see any restoration options in this thing. And that there's a beautiful bit of door. Mungery. To get something made like that, you're looking at $1,500. And there's some windows over there with big Remu frames around. And that'd be over $3,000 each one made. And they were going to landfill. We intercepted each one. And that's beautiful Remu framing, that wide. And they came from a government building in New Zealand here, on Palmerston North here, and they were going to be thrown in the landfill. See this? The government is saying stop landfill. You know, education was an educational building. It's costing too much money, and they're always trying to cut the budget back. But the people who had the pleasure of having all that material don't give a hoot because it never cost them anything. So there's this imbalance
between what people say and what is actually done.
You know, there is wood recyclers around New Zealand. Probably every town's got their wood recycling plants, shops. Where people can buy doors and windows and pieces of wood and da-da-da. But they generally only take the eye fillet from the beast.
Right.
We take every bit of wood and try and give it a new life. So a lot of their efforts are only to commercialise what they're doing, which is what they've got to do to survive.
Yeah.
You can't blame them for that. and they do a really good job. But here we're saying, well, as an education for future generations, we need to take care of all the wood.
Mm.
So that's our stance.
When you reclaim the timber, rescue it, what do you end up doing with some of it? Do you ship some overseas, is that right?
Yes, we have. We've done a, what do you call it, a rescue mission of that wood, and then it stopped over in the Fiji rebuild.
Mm.
So we were able to donate that drywall framing, which we commonly call a 4x2, and that got over there to the Fiji rebuild free, didn't cost us anything.
Mm.
But that to us is a great outcome for what normally would have gone to landfill.
Yeah.
Mm.
Nothing wrong with it. Might have a few nail holes, it will save you drilling another hole if you're over there building something.
Yeah.
You know, this, and all wood can be repaired. I mean, you can soon drill out a hole and put another piece through the grain with a bit of Gorilla Glue, and it's stronger now than ever because it's got a cross grain in it.
Mm.
It's not going to split as easy as normally would.
Mm.
Yeah, we have the workshop outside. Come and have a quick look, folks. Mm.
So this is the workshop?
Yeah, this used to be P&T, post office workshops.
Mm.
You know, before centralisation of everything.
Mm.
And then Telecom took it over.
Mm.
And this is where they used to have a big pit in the middle here. They used to service all their vans and trucks.
So this is where you do repurposing
that
you get, you reclaim?
See all those short bits of wood there? They're all being cut specially for a raised garden bed.
Oh.
To the same length, and they sit on a top plate and bottom plate, and we have a 4x2 ground treated stuff. And instead of a lot of people using long bits for convenience, we have short bits up and down, which looks very pretty.
Mm.
I'll show you out here.
Yeah.
See the sides of that? Just
oh,
short
wow!
Ones.
That's beautiful.
Oh, yeah.
And that's old fence palings, off a fence that normally gets smashed and put in skip bins. They are treated timbers. So they've gone through a huge process.
Mm.
But as soon as somebody doesn't like the colour, they pull it off, chuck it in a skip bin.
Mm.
And yet it's treated timber. But that there is what I call beautiful short bits instead of long bits, you know.
Mm.
But you can.
Yeah,
you know,
it's lovely.
Recycled wood.
It's beautiful.
They have potential.
Yeah.
Is there to reuse.
I would imagine that it must be quite a satisfying thing to save and reclaim timber, possibly more than making bits from scratch.
Yeah, it's very satisfying.
Mm.
And all these little bits, if we can't sell them, what are we going to do with them?
They need a home.
Well, they do.
Yeah.
Look at it all. And that's just a smidgen of what's going to landfill every day. That's what hurts.
Yeah.
We need to stop the monster that we've created and say, hang on a minute, all that wood needs to be redirected into a resource recovery area.
Mm.
Might take 10 acres, might take 12 acres, but who cares? It's far better there than on the ground.
Yeah.
Get it rescheduled for reuse. You know, the proper machines and the proper people running it, all that wood there can be on the shelves tomorrow ready for resale.
Mm.
Mm. So effectively, all this could be made reusable, and that's your precious Remu.
Mm.
Never going to see it again. And now we've got demolition firms going around and smashing that up, putting it on trucks too, in smashed up pieces.
Mm.
Big long bits of framing.
Can you think how much it costs to get new?
Well, here they are, wanting to cut more Remi forest down in the South Island.
Mm.
And I'm saying, don't spend money on cutting it down. Spend money on saving what we've already cut down.
So where do you get a lot of the materials? Like,
we were getting a little bit from the demolition people, and we did get a house ourselves and demolished it ourselves, hands-on, me and Dean.
Oh, wow. You took it down bit by bit.
Yeah, well, it's really good. And it does. It comes down as simple as it goes up.
Mm.
You know, so as a learning curve, as I say, for the young budding builders or anyone who wants to get into building trade, it's so ideal. You know, our institutions at the moment, our training institutions,
should be looking for houses to demolish as a way of training up the young people.
Mm.
Don't need to sit down behind a desk.
Mm.
You can go out and do it.
Mm.
It's so simple.
Mm.
See, this here is a modern drawer made with modern material. It's called MDF. It's like a cardboard. Okay, and you see it's all just been pinned together. And it probably has done a reasonable service. But that's your modern material.
Mm.
This here's your solid wood material. And that's done twice as long service. And you see, it's all dovetailed, finished, and solid Remu front. And this is what the modern age will see. And this is what will be thrown away.
Mm.
And can you do much?
Increasing numbers. No, there's nothing you can do with it.
Mm. Mm. Too poor quality.
And there's chemicals in here.
Mm.
Thermolamide. What's that? Thermolamide or something they call it.
Mm. Mm.
It's used as a glue substance when it's pressed and compressed. It's very intense in this stuff. So it's a dangerous material.
Mm.
And that's what's going to be going to our landfills in ever increasing quantities in the days coming.
Mm.
Because we're not thinking when we make things.
That's right.
Mm.
We send the trees overseas, and by the time they finished with it, it comes back to us like that.
Mm.
And there's no stewardship on it. In other words, it's the cost of those who purchase. That's it. Our expense.
Mm.
But it's not easy to get rid of. See that plastic there?
Mm.
Full of chemical.
Mm. Mm.
It's nasty stuff. Whereas natural wood can be rejuvenated by skimming a smidgen off the surface and made to look new again.
Mm.
Right.
Mm. Mm. And yet people don't see those things as valuable.
No, they don't anymore. And that's a much older drawer there. It's probably done 110 years, that one.
Mm. So this would be salvageable as well.
Oh gosh, yeah, that's beautiful, Remy.
Mm.
So I'm just giving you an example of where we're at. That's the modern thing. That's from what we've come from. And yet they're smashing and burying this in the ground every day, and I just shake my head.
Yeah.
Mm.
And then filling up store shelves with poor quality wooden things.
That's right, they don't last long.
Mm.
And it'll cost more and more money to discard it later on.
See that one block of treated timber there? That's gone through a huge process to get to that stage. You've got to think of the planting of the tree, the servicing of that tree. You've got to think of when it was logged. That's huge. That's huge already. And then it's been milled. It's been processed with a chemical dipping and all the rest of it, like an H3 or 4 or 5. And that now has to go to landfill.
Mm.
Now, why does it have to go to landfill after all that huge processing? It should be absolutely banned.
Mm.
You know, the government should be going, well, none of that should go to landfill. That small bit of wood has got so many possibilities for reuse.
Mm.
And that goes into a builder's bin because he's cut the length he wants. So they chuck that small bit into a bin and it goes straight to landfill.
Mm.
Most builders now will have recourse on lots of these bits of wood. They're very, very clever now because they've got their computers.
Mm.
They can work out exactly what they need. But there's still too many little short bits like that have got so much potential for reuse going to landfill right now as we stand here. But we can't blame them for that because people like us haven't put our hand up and said we'll take it all yet because we're not financially capable of doing what we're doing right now to be able to achieve that. So we're at that pivot point. This will either keep going and get better and go around right around New Zealand, Australia. UK has got a big good problem. We investigated it over there. So once again, we're living to feed this ever-increasing population growth with convenience, but we're not thinking of the end result of all that material.
Mm.
You said that timber was treated too, so if
that's
it goes to landfill.
That's got a lot of arsenic in it, that one there. And I've seen truckloads of stuff like that, long lengths, being filled into the landfill here
our Wapuni, and when we had a liaison with the local council, they were wanting to build a building, a purpose building, to capture all the wood, but it never happened.
Mm.
The managers were saying, yes, we'll run with you guys, but the people on the ground couldn't make it happen. Mm. We saw truckloads being tipped out and run over with stupid bulldozers, pushing it into the ground.
Makes your heart hurt, eh?
Oh, it's just so neglectful. It is so short-sighted. It's painfully short. It's a bit like watching someone with a handsaw cutting off their hand slowly. It's painful watching it. And yet it's almost as futile as that. And we've got photographs of Awapuni down here, of the huge mountains of wood full of treated timber like that, right by our river. And I've seen the leachate. I mean, anybody can go down there and look at it. It just comes out from underneath the ground and sits in big black pools, you know. And it's just because we're so interested in the head of everything, but we're not too interested in the waste. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's that linear system rather than a circular system.
That's right.
Which is the nature.
Everybody likes talking about the flash stuff we see and we, you know, but nobody likes talking about the waste stream. And we've got to talk about it because it's like human waste. We've got to get used to the fact that we have stuff go down, it comes out. Hey. And it should be the same for every product, not buried in the flipping ground. It's painful. Do you see the fine wine racks? They were going into skip bins, and they're made with plywood. They're screwed and glued, purpose-built bins. To make one of those would have cost thousands, and they were going in the skip bin. Now, you and I, if we had a nice big shed, would love to have a shelf like that to put all our things in, wouldn't we?
Yeah, absolutely. Would certainly. All our glass jars. We'd be able to see them all.
Exactly. You veganistic people. But, you know, that's another situation. Like, we've got supermarkets producing convenience for everybody, and everybody gets slowly drawn into that system. And when things get inconvenient, they get very nasty, people. They lose their temper. I was in a queue yesterday waiting for the checkout counter person. I was waiting. But the person next to me was going, well, let's go over there. We'll see if we can be quicker over there. I said, no, just wait. Don't worry. Just calm down. See, we're always wanting to push things. And, you know, they didn't have time to get on the trade me and offer those to somebody. They just wanted them out. So out to the skip bin they go.
Yeah, and you think about office refurbishments as well. It's similar, like that people don't want to lose the time that you could have people in the office working. So everything has to be removed as quick as physically possible and then refurbished as quick as physically possible.
Yeah, and that's what happens, I guess, from my experience so far. You get a system set up which works. There's nothing wrong with a system, it works, but it's like a monster. Once it's up and running, it can't stop. You know, like a supermarket. It's got to churn out convenience for people all the time, 7 days a week. And it becomes a burden on those people. They might be like making a lot of money, but it's a real horrific way to live. You've got all these different staff people with all their problems. You've got all these product changes. You've got expiry date coming up on products, and they all go in the skip bin. Crazy. It really is. I mean, the next generation or two, they should get it right.
We hope
so. Yeah.
When you walk into a supermarket, there might be only one or two things you need, but look at the aisles of pet food and stuff we don't need. Humans. When we pamper to a human need, where does it end?
And with the wood stuff that you're doing, I guess the way that you phrased the system being a monster and it just sort of goes, I guess it's similar to what you're doing here, is you're basically fighting a giant monster because the system is set up not to reclaim timber.
That's right.
And so it's sort of an uphill battle or a David and Goliath.
That's right.
Situation.
And that is sad. But if we put our hand up properly, you know, we could go to people like Fletcher's and say, look, here we are, we're doing this with your X product, why don't you align yourself with us and we'll become your green arm? So when it comes to future changes, you can tick off all those boxes because we are actually doing that for you. And you should be funding us to make it happen. But you see, it'll only ever be as good as what it is for the people that are in it at the time. It's like every service. If you've got people who are committed to the end result, it'll always be good. But if they're only there to get their pay, it'll never be any good. You see that in every walk. You know, if people love what they're doing, then it'll always be good. But if they're there because they're just getting their money to go home with each week, not really there, committed to the job, they'll never make it work. But it's people's attitude will take your ideals and make it work.
Well, I guess that's your point of difference at a place like this, where it's not about the money.
No.
It's about what can be done with all the stuff that's otherwise going to be wasted.
That's right. And there is so much you can do with it. And here's where we do a lot of recycling of all our materials. Like, these are all Posi Drive 30mm screws now. So any time we're doing and fixing something and we want a 30mm screw, we just come in here and got them all there. And it's like these various slot round head bolts. And you can go and buy these at the Mitre 10s and so forth. But if we hadn't pulled those off all the different pieces of wood, they'd all go to landfill too.
It's madness.
And you're upcycling the milk bottle to use as a container.
Yeah, very handy. Those little square ones are very good, got the handle built on.
Yeah.
So obviously it's not just timber that you're doing, it's all of this stuff as well, all this metal. And
but see that, there's...
what is that?
I don't know.
Yeah.
But you feel the weight, that's a lot of metal in there, shouldn't go to landfill, should it?
Jeez, that's really heavy.
So look at all that brass in there from an old clock off an old oven.
Oh, well.
That would have been your mum's day, probably.
Gosh, that could be some art piece. You can see that.
Well, it is. It's fascinating. Beautiful. You know, all those little cogs.
Yeah.
And those springs.
That could be a table centrepiece in a hipster cafe.
Exactly. You can hang it from the ceiling on a piece of nylon. So it becomes interesting, just taking stuff to bits. You know, the things that humans have evolved on, it's amazing.
You were telling us the other day about the social side of the work you do.
That has proved to be the most rewarding. I mean, it's rewarding turning all this stuff around and giving another chance, but just seeing people given the opportunity to do stuff from doing nothing has been really pleasing.
So has that always been part of what you do?
Yeah. We've had parents bring their children in here. And so, look, this boy's going off the rails. I've told him he has to get in here and do some work. And they've come along and we've kept them in a place where, like a holding paddock. We know their little lives are in turmoil right now, but they just need time. And slowly that turmoil subsides. They come out the other end simply because you spent time with them. And you treat them just like everyone else.
And so do you find that this kind of work coming here opens people up?
Yep, it hasn't worked 100%. I must say we've had a fallout rate probably of 10 to 15% people that we've offered to help them. They've come here and they've gone back to prison. Can't help that. And yet we've had people come out of prison and they've gone from here to get paid jobs. But you offer them that little time. We had one guy, he came back three times because the police were after him. So what are you still doing that for? But he's back inside now, so he'll have to learn the hard way. But at least he knows he can come here. I mean, it's like...
So you keep the doors open?
You have to, don't you?
You were saying to us the other day that our approach to throwing away things like timber that could be reclaimed is not just an environmental thing, but you also see the social potential in it. So
oh, absolutely, the social. Wood is a great medium to keep people busy, and it's a great medium to make them interested in making things.
Mm.
So it gives them another look at it and they go, oh, yeah, can I make this or can I do that? Just that social enterprise, which I never knew the word meant that at the time, has really opened my eyes up. That wood is a great medium, and why bury it in the ground when it can be helping a lot more people? You see, all wood should go through a place which says whether it's rubbish or reusable.
Mm.
There's no such place, it just goes straight to the transfer station. There should be regulations on the way that houses are demolished. It could be taken down one stick at a time, it was put up one stick at a time, so it doesn't need to be by big machines.
Mm.
That is a most distasteful and social ugly thing. There is a place for machines, but it shouldn't be the way it's being used. You see, I can see houses to be pulled down would be a great learning place for a young carpenter, young builder, because it's going to teach him hands-on health and safety. He's not going to learn from a book or sitting in a desk somewhere. He's going to learn it out there. So we are, every time we smash a house down with a machine, we're actually smashing down a university of learning.
You're probably inspiring a whole lot of young people to, you know, to see what can be done with all this otherwise wasted wood.
That has been the pleasing outcome. I had a lady just come while you were in there just before. She wanted some fire bags, and she said, oh, you had my son here. He came part of the corrections department. And I said, well, how is the young fella? How is he going? She said, oh, he's going really well.
Oh,
he's got a lovely partner. He's got a good job. But he needed just that time, you know? Sometimes when you're with young people like that, it's just the time you spend with them, eh? I've got so many things to do, and I should be doing this and that, but I just spend their first day here when they're here for doing community service hours. I used to go out there and stand with them. Just talk with them and be with them, encourage them on every little point. I said, look, the only difference between you and me is that you got caught and I didn't. I said, I did silly things too. And then I left it at that, so that made them feel at home, you know what I mean? And then just show them how to use a hammer and do things. Now, to me, that is the optimum. I haven't seen this lady for years, but she's come in here today and got some firewood off us. And telling me about her son is now going on the straight and narrow, and he's doing really well. Isn't that neat?
That's wonderful.
Hey.
Yeah.
And to live to get that sort of feedback just warms your heart, because you know you've been part of something that works.